We're back with On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Mary Frances Early is a trailblazer. While Charlene Hunter Galt and Hamilton Holmes were the first African Americans admitted to University of Georgia as undergrads in 1961, Early was the first to graduate with a master's degree in music education. Last week, UGA announced an initiative to name its College of Education after Mary Frances Early, who talked with me last year when UGA was celebrating 100 years of educating groundbreaking women. I asked her what she was doing before she applied to UGA.
I was teaching here in Atlanta at John Hope Elementary School, which is on Boulevard in the Fourth Ward, very close to Dr. King's Church. But I went during the summer. You know, teachers have to go during the summer to summer school.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the University of Michigan 2 summers before I entered the University of Georgia.
Why did you decide to go to University of Georgia?
I saw a riot on television, a little black and white television, showing Charlene and Hamilton being escorted back to Atlanta, suspended for their own safety. And I said, they can't do that. I wanted to do something to help with the civil rights that was going on, the marches. And I knew I couldn't do the picketing and sit-ins because I was an employee of the state, and I would have been fired. But I thought, I can go to school. So I decided, I told my mom that night, I'm going to transfer to the University of Georgia from Michigan.
Wow, so that was a really quick decision. And before you applied, you had to go through getting, it was a pretty lengthy process, let's say that way.
Yes.
The difficulty was more and more barrier supposed to discourage you and other African-American students from applying. What kind of obstacles did you have to overcome just to get that application in?
Well, when they got my transcripts, they found that I was black. And they asked for my high school transcript, which is very unusual because I had gone to college and finished. I was in the master's program at the University of Michigan. And what they didn't know was that actually my high school transcript was even better than my college.
Mm.
And then I had to go to the courthouse to get a signature from the judge saying that I was an upstanding citizen. I don't know how he was supposed to know. And actually, the clerk of court signed that. And then there was an investigative report that was done that actually I didn't know about until the year 2000. But they investigated my background, if I'd had a venereal disease, if I had shoplifted, been arrested, if I'd had an illegitimate child.
Mm.
But they tried to find some way of disqualifying me. But I wasn't a paragon of virtue, but I certainly wasn't doing any of those things. Well, and then there was an interview on campus. And at that interview with the registrar, which was required, supposedly, I was asked if I'd ever been in a house of prostitution. And that just really destroyed me inwardly. But I knew that he was trying to goad me into disrespecting or saying disrespectful things, and I wouldn't rise to that challenge. I kept my cool, but I was really very angry.
So what taught you, what prepared you for that, keeping your cool, being grace under pressure from what the sounds of it?
My parents, they were my role models. And although we grew up in a segregated society, they did not teach me to disrespect people because of their race or to blame them. They just told us that, you know, you have to have character, you have to get education. That is the road to progress. And you can do anything that anyone else can do if you're prepared. And I think it was watching them, observing them, learning from them that I was able to do it.
Well, despite jumping through all of those hoops, you did. You were admitted. When you finally got to campus, do you remember that first day, what it was like?
Yes, I do. I had a white student, an art student, who was a graduate. She was in the graduate program, who met me at a local dentist's office, and we went to registration together. When we walked up to the registration line, it was very noisy when we approached, but everyone turned around and looked at us, and it was just quiet. I didn't know what to expect, and I think had I not been with a white student, it might have gone much worse. But that was a very scary moment.
Right, because you had seen images on television of riots, Charlene and Hamilton being, you know, taunted, pretty much chased out. So you were prepared for the worst.
I was. In fact, I was assigned to that same room that Charlene had been in, right on the street, vulnerable to bombs, to rocks, to whatever.
What happened to her?
Well, she was, at the time when I went in the summer of 61, she had gone to the Louisville Times, I believe, as an intern. And Hamilton had gone home, and I think he was working as a lifeguard. So I was a lone black on campus, except for people in menial positions.
So Hamilton Holmes, I don't know if we've said his last name yet, Charlene Hunter Galton, Hamilton Holmes. Two other African Americans were admitted to UGA before you.
Yes.
You, however, were a master's student. You were had been to Spelman, if I got the, no, Clark, sorry. Oh. But this is a huge challenge. And I know that other people that we've spoken to, women who integrated grammar schools or lower schools, have talked about the incredible loneliness of that experience. What did it feel like for you?
It was very lonely. At the University of Michigan, you know, I could walk and talk with classmates, white, black, it didn't matter. And it was a very liberal campus. But when I went to Georgia, one of the things that the students had said in a proclamation was that they would not welcome us, and that any white student who welcomed us or was with us, would also be ostracized. That first summer where I was alone, it was very lonely, and I was not accustomed to that because I'm a gregarious type person.
Do you think you would have had the same perspective had you not been to Michigan? You talked about the experience in Michigan, not a segregated school, certainly not absence of racism, I'm guessing, but you had a different perspective from the outside. Was that different than the people that you left behind?
It was quite different. I mean, I knew I'd grown up in Atlanta, you know, with the white and colored water fountains and going to the Fox. You had to go up the back steps. I knew all of that, but I just didn't expect it at the University of Georgia. I had, I guess, a dream that things would be much the same. But of course they were not. And I had thought that graduate students, because Sharon Hamp integrated the undergraduate school and I integrated the graduate school, I thought they would be more mature because they were mostly teachers like me, but that was such was not the case.
How did they treat you?
They would sit as far away as they could. They would not acknowledge my presence. And that's very hurtful because everybody wants to be at least recognized. If I spoke to them, I would be rebuffed. They wouldn't say anything. I remember going to the Ag Auditorium to take the graduate record exam, and I sat down near the end of the row. And when I sat down, all of those on that row got up and left. That was not a very good beginning to a very difficult exam. But I had to push it to the back of my mind, and I did. And I was able to pass.
But there you are, head down, taking your exam, not paying attention. Was that your experience at UGA? Did you just get your work done?
I did. There was nothing else to do. Athens was not integrated, though the University of Georgia was. And it was a small town. There was nowhere to go. I went to the Killian's restaurant, which was a black-owned restaurant on Broad Street, occasionally when I got tired of being ignored or listening to taunts, because there were things that were said and things that happened.
The silence of taking that exam and then putting your head up when you're finished and looking at everybody else gone, it's a different kind of response rather than jeering or shouting or throwing things. Silence,
right?
Doing things, withdrawing quietly, that has a whole different, I would imagine, psychological effect.
It does, and it really gets to one's psyche because you wonder, you know, am I unworthy? Why am I being treated this way? I am not dirty. You know, I don't smell. What's the problem? But, you know, I think it was the musical South Pacific where that song was sung, "You Have to Be Taught Very Early."
Mm.
And I think that this was a result of those students, having been taught by their parents, because we all lived in the South. But it was totally unnecessary because I was not going to bother them. But it was that you were excluded, and I was.
Did you stay friends with that white art student that you mentioned?
No, because she was getting ready for graduation and had a show. But I did. We stayed in touch for a couple of weeks, but that was about it.
What did you do musically while you were there?
Well, I was not a performing major. I was a music education major.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember once going to a practice room to not to practice the piano for a lesson, but to go through a score that I was studying in music history. And someone blocked me in from the outside, a practice room.
They locked you in the room?
Huh. Yes. And there were not the security guards that they have around now. When I finally, and I get claustrophobia when I'm in a small enclosed space, when I finally got someone's attention, this guard came to the door and unblocked it, and he said, "You shouldn't be here at night." And I said, "But I'm a music major. I have to work at the piano." But he didn't say anything about those who pulled a prank.
Yeah. What did that experience do for your experience of teaching, this transformative educational experience?
Well, I taught at a segregated school. I never taught at a school that was integrated. But my students, I felt, needed to know. I didn't talk to them about those experiences, but I tried to instill within them the need for taking care of business in terms of going to school and staying on target with your teachers, listening to your parents. I tried to help them so that if they were ever faced with that, they would be able to manage it, as I did.
You eventually became the director of music for Atlanta Public Schools. Have I got that right?
That's correct.
So the schools only integrated around the time you were at UGA or afterwards. So what was it like to be the only person in authority in a major school district like that when in your own high school days you couldn't even attend a class with white students?
That's true. And, you know, I had white teachers and black teachers alike and principals, black and white. But I had no problems in working with any of them because I think if you do a good job and people know that you are really sincere in your love for music and education, they really respect that. So I had no problems with that.
How about your graduation day? This was 1962?
Yes, August 16th.
What do you remember about that day in receiving your diploma? Was your family there?
Oh, yes. I had invited my parents to come to a chorus concert because I was in the summer chorus, and I was told that the campus was only integrated for Charlene Hamilton and me. So they said that they could not protect my family on the way to or from the University of Georgia. And so I didn't want them to come. But for my graduation, I didn't ask permission. And I think there were about 74 people who came, family, church members, classmates from college. And as I stood in line, there were only five of us getting the Master of Music Education degree. No one would speak to me.
Mm.
And that was very unusual. No administrators, nobody. And I knew that this was a watershed moment because they were about to give a degree to a black person. That was not my incentive for going, but it just happened that way because I had graduate credits from the University of Michigan, which they did accept. And I had gone back the spring of 62 and gone through the summer of 62, and that's how I was able to complete. But it was a surreal feeling because I was not being accepted, and yet I was getting a degree.
Yeah. There are now campus buildings dedicated to Charlene Hunter Gault and Hamilton Holmes, but you have largely been left out of early accounts of UGA's history. Why is that?
You know, I don't know. From my first degree in 62, because I went back and got a second degree as education specialist, but when I was in 62, from that time, for 38 years, I was completely erased from UGA's history. I have no idea to this day why. But in the year 2000, after I was, quote, discovered by Dr. Maurice Daniels, who was a actually a professor in the School of Social Work, and he was doing a documentary on Horace Ward. And he was told by Attorney Hollowell and Jesse Hill, Jr., that I was actually the first to get a degree, and he didn't know anything about it. He had never heard my name. So he did some research, and then he called me. And I was invited to come back to campus. And I spoke in the year 2000, and I've been recognized ever since.
And telling your story ever since. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
And now she may get that namesake recognition after all. UGA's College of Education announced last week a proposal to be named after Mary Frances Early, the first Black graduate student from UGA. The proposal is awaiting approval by the University Systems Board of Regents. You can learn a lot more about her life through the GPB documentary, Mary Frances Early, The Quiet Trailblazer. Up next, the challenges for students of color, predominantly educated by white teachers. I'm Virginia Prescott. Stay with us for that and more, and On Second Thought.